Welcome to the Blessed Sacrament Homilies Podcast, where our mission is to help everyone recognize and experience the presence of God. We hope you are nourished and encouraged by the Word. Thank you for joining us.
The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But the disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside, except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha koum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. Some of our staff I've shared this story with, but I think it fits sometimes with our understanding of Jesus in our lives. It was when I was pastor in Shepherd, and the phone rang at 2:30 in the morning. It was the hospital in Mount Pleasant, and there was an individual who was near death, and they asked that I be called to anoint their father. I said, "I'll be there as soon as I can," and I got dressed and drove over. That took me probably about 20, 25 minutes. Walked into the hospital, found the nurse's station, said who I was, and they took me down to the room. And this individual was by themselves in the room. So I did what I always do. I ask if there's any family around, because I think it's better to have some of the family gathered together for this prayer.
And the nurse said, yeah, they're down in the lounge down at the end of the hall. Took me down there and introduced me to them, and I invited them to come into the room. And we gathered around their dad's bed, and we prayed and called upon God's sustaining love. And afterwards, as we were walking out, I was chatting with the family a little bit because I didn't know them. And I asked if they were from out of town. And they said, no, we're from Mount Pleasant. Well, then I naturally assumed they probably weren't very connected to a parish, which sometimes happens, and it's totally fine. And I said, not part of a parish here? No, we're from Sacred Heart. I said, oh, okay. Father Bob out of town? No, he's so busy, we didn't want to bother him. Okay. Have a nice day. I'll be praying for you. And I went home. Well, over the years, I've had more than a few people, when talking to me about something they're really struggling with, say to me that they didn't want to bring it to God because God's got other things to worry about. And sometimes what they're dealing with is a pretty big deal. It's their own personal illness, or it's the illness of someone they love, or it's a big struggle that they've been fighting their whole life. Yet somehow they don't think that theirs merits Jesus' time and attention because there are so many other struggles happening in the world. Well, nothing could be farther from the truth. Jesus isn't that big corporate executive that's got a lot on his plate. He's God. And his love doesn't have limits. If he reaches out to us with a compassionate and generous and sustaining love, that doesn't mean that there's less for anybody else. It's limitless. And we can see that here in the gospel. Because notice that he journeys to the one in need. They don't even have to come to him. He goes to the synagogue official's house to offer healing and life. And in the midst of that very significant need, there is someone else in the crowd who's also struggling. And this poor woman, all she does is say, if I can just touch him, that will be enough. And it was. And she found healing. But then, in the midst of that commotion, she got scared because, I didn't ask. Maybe I bothered him. Maybe he's too busy. And in her fear and trembling, as the scriptures say, when she told Jesus what had happened, she didn't say, oh, don't bother me now. I got something else I got to go do. Jesus said, your faith is taken care of. Go in peace. There is never anything in our lives that is troubling or that we're suffering with that is too insignificant to bring to Jesus for help. We don't need to worry that he's busy with other things, and we don't need to worry that there are some kind of limits to the amount he can love. There isn't. The best way to get past anything, absolutely anything that you or I struggle with, is to first take it to him, who not only can understand us perfectly, but can love us limitlessly.